to this evening. The book of Exodus in chapter 32. We're going to read the first 14 verses as we begin this evening. Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse number 1. We'll read the first 14 verses so we can get the setting for what's going on here in the story. Exodus 32 and verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, and of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down. For thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, put please your blessing upon the reading of your word. Lord, a very difficult passage, a very challenging passage to read and to study and preach from tonight. And I pray, Lord, you give us understanding. Father, help us to understand the circumstances, the conditions of the people. Father, your wrath and your anger against them. Father, your desire of what you wanted to do and then what you in the end did do. And Father, again, as we read from ancient history in the book of Exodus, we realize, Father, that our human nature today is no different than the human nature of those Jewish people way back in Exodus chapter 32. So help us, Father, to learn lessons that we can apply to our life today. Use your eternal, everlasting word to speak and challenge us in the areas of life we need challenged in by the message tonight. Give me, Father, clarity of thought. Give me clarity of speech. And Father, may your word be presented in such a way that the Holy Spirit of God may use it in each and every heart to your direction and to your will. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message tonight is What God's People Have Done. Beginning in verse 7, the Lord said, Go down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are a stiff-necked people. These people that the Lord is speaking about in this chapter are the same people that only 20 chapters ago in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, had a grand and victorious day. In Exodus chapter 12, we read about that Passover where the death angel came down and passed over all the Jewish people that had the blood applied to their doorposts. And the next day after that plague, the Pharaoh allowed them to leave, and so they marched out of the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, a great chapter of victory. Chapter 13, remembering the Passover and commemorating it. I believe it's in chapter 14 that they crossed the Red Sea. In chapter 15 is Miriam's song of praise and exaltation to God who delivered them from the horse and the rider that were drowned in the sea. You remember those chapters from 12 to 15. Great victories, great triumphs for the people of Israel. And yet here they are, 17 chapters later. And they've corrupted themselves. And they're worshiping idols. And they're a stiff-necked people. So fast. So quickly. So soon. How in the world can that happen? Look back, if you would, at some of the things that happened in these passages. Look back in Exodus chapter 15. Oh, that's Genesis. Exodus chapter 15. In the midst of the blessings of God. Chapter 14. In the midst of the blessings of God. In the midst of the deliverance of God. In the midst of the victories that they're having over Egypt and the triumph that they're experiencing. When everything was going good and everything was fine. They still had a seed down in them of contempt. When they were fleeing from the land of Egypt, you know, as they left that land where they had built the pyramids and built the different things and were fleeing from Moses trying to get out of Egypt as fast as they can, lest he change his mind. Well, he did change his mind. And he sent all his men and all his chariots after the Israelites as they were crossing the Red Sea. And as Moses got with all the people to the border of the sea, and they didn't know where they were going to go, and they've got the sea to one side of them, and Pharaoh and all the army of Egypt coming from the other side, and they've got nowhere to turn and nowhere to go. They have seen the victory of God in leaving Egypt, but what is the first thought that's on their mind? When they're between the rock and the hard place, they're between the sea and the army of Egypt, and they know that God has brought them out of the land of Egypt. Wouldn't you think their first thought, now you and I, if we were going to write the story, we'd say, well, you know what they're going to do? They're going to look for how God's going to deliver them. And you know what God did. He had Moses stretch out that rod and parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. Well, surely those people of Israel that had just been delivered from Egypt when they got caught against that Red Sea with the army coming after them probably just said, well, Lord, we don't know what you're going to do, but we know you can do it and we trust you to do it. No, that's not what they did. And that's not usually what you do. And that's not usually what I do. Even after we've seen God do things and deliver us and give us victory, still, when a trouble or trial comes, you know what we say? God, why did you bring me to this place? God, why are you allowing this to happen? God, you failed me. Notice the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14. Just come out of Egypt, getting ready to cross the Red Sea. Chapter 14. And verse number 11, they said unto Moses, well, verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of the land of Egypt? They're blaming Moses. It's his fault. He brought them out of Egypt. Well, wait a minute. Just a few days ahead of this, they were praising Moses. They were thankful for that deliverance. How soon, how quickly it changed. They said in verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. It's been said, and it's so accurate, that the children of Israel came out of Egypt. But Egypt never came out of the children of Israel. They always had, for some strange reason, a desire to go back there. For 400 years they had served in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And yet now upon their deliverance and God bringing them out, the minute something bad happens, they're turning against Moses and turning against God. I don't know about you, but I find that perplexing. That they could so quickly turn against Moses and against God. Well, you say it happened once and that was the end of that. Turn over to chapter 16. Here we're on the other side of the Red Sea. Chapter 14, God delivered miraculously after their murmuring. God delivered them, so that should be taken care of. That should never happen again. Now in chapter 16, they've crossed the Red Sea and they're wandering. They've been wandering now for 2.5 months. Notice in chapter 16 and verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day, on the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. 2.5 months since they left Egypt. 2.5 months since they crossed the Red Sea and kind of had those words shoved back in their mouth about murmuring and complaining about going back to Egypt. Now they're 2.5 months out, but verse 2 tells us this. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Come on now. Seriously? Didn't you just do that 2 chapters ago and realize it was a mistake? Now 2.5 months later? 2.5 months later. And they're complaining all over again. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat the bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They're turning against Moses again. Down in verse 7, Moses told them, look at the middle of the verse, he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? The middle of verse 8, the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are ye? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Do you get the idea that murmuring is not good? The Lord mentions it all and over and over and over again. He says, you're murmuring against God. You're murmuring against Moses. You're murmuring against the things, the circumstances, the things that are happening. And every time you get in a hard place, you want to run back to Egypt. Look over at chapter 17. It's not very much longer. We're not even to the third month yet, which is chapter 19. So between 2.5 and 3 months, maybe a week later, it says in verse 3 of chapter 17, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of the land of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? The problem of the children of Israel is they were brought out of Egypt, but Egypt was never brought out of them. Every time they get in a tough spot, every time they were in hard circumstances, their first thought was, let's go back to Egypt. We had it so good back in Egypt. Can I remind you that they did not have it good in Egypt? That was not a prosperous time for them. That was not a plenteous time for them. They said, well, when we ate bread to the full. Their memory of their former life was kind of skewed and kind of fogged out by the trials they were going through as they wandered through the wilderness. Look at chapter 19 and verse number 1. In the third month, the Bible says, in the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. So they've left Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, they have murmured 3 times in the process, and now they come to the foot of Mount Sinai, 3 months after they've come out of Egypt. And in 3 months' time, as we begin in Exodus chapter 19, from Exodus 19 well into chapters 30, all happened with a couple days' time. In chapter 19, they come out there at the foot of Mount Sinai. In chapter 19, Moses goes up into the mountain. In chapter 20, he receives the Ten Commandments. Chapter 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, he's getting all the instruction for the tabernacle. He's still up in the mountain with them, with the Lord. And while all this is going on up in the mountain, what do you think the people are doing down on the ground? Those people that murmured three times in the 3 months since they've been out. Those people that have turned on Moses and murmured against God. Now Moses is up in the mountain. It says in chapter 32 and verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. The Bible tells us that Moses was up in that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. 3 months into this, now another month and 10 days, Moses is up in that mountain 40 days and 40 nights. There's been a lot of talk on social media about that number 40. And if you go back to Governor DeWine's decree on March 22nd for a stay-at-home order, and you count the number of days to April 1st, or not April, to May 1st, oh, coincidence of all coincidences, it's 40 days. And people are making a big deal about that. 40 days isolation, like Moses was 40 days up in the mountain. Yeah, but what happened during that 40 days of isolation to the rest of the people? You folks watching in tonight, we're worried about you. All right, during the 40 days that you're in isolation, we're worried about you. All right, what happened to these people down here? The Bible says they corrupted themselves. They turned aside out of the way. They made them gods. And they became a stiff-necked people. How easy, how quickly they turned against God. And I want you to notice those four steps in these verses tonight, and notice that they kind of lead one to the other. As we've always said, these biblical things always lead one into another. The Bible is not haphazardly put together. It was written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's an organized book. And we see this beginning in verse 7, that there are four steps that the children of Israel took that finally caused God to say to Moses, I'm going to destroy all 2.5 million of them, Moses, and I'm going to start all over with just you. What caused God's attitude toward His people to be so drastic that He was ready to wipe them all out? And but for the intercession of Moses, as we read the story, God would have done just that. What is it they did? Well, notice first of all in verse 7, they corrupted themselves. And lo, the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, I like this, for thy people. You know what the Lord said to Moses? Up till now it's been my people, my people, my people, but now He says to Moses, thy people. In fact, Moses and God kind of get into an argument over the whole thing. Because later in the verses, Moses tells God, he calls him thy people again. So they're kind of a contest. They're both trying to push the people of Israel off on each other. God says to Moses, thy people, which thou broughtest out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. How did they corrupt themselves? They began acting like the Egyptians. They began imitating the attitudes and the words and the mindset of the people from whom they have been delivered. Christians, we need to be careful. It's very easy to corrupt ourselves. Corrupting ourselves simply means that we begin to act like the world around us and talk like the world around us and think like the world around us and have standards like the world around us and have attitudes like the world around us. We are called to be God's people. We are chosen out of this world by our faith in Jesus Christ to be different. And the first thing that God said about these people after hearing their murmurings and their complainings and putting up with everything, He says to Moses, my patience is running thin. Moses, these people have corrupted themselves. How did they corrupt themselves? Well, their speech was corrupt. Look at verse 1. They said to Aaron, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. Up, make us gods, small g, which shall go before us. That's not the words of the children of God. That's not the words of the people of Israel that have been delivered from Egypt and delivered from the crossing of the Red Sea, delivered from Pharaoh on two different occasions. That's not their words. That's the mindset they had when they were back in Egypt. And their language is betraying them. Before they ever get any farther, their language is corrupt. Their speech is corrupt. They're sounding like Egyptians. These be thy gods, O Israel. These be the gods that brought thee out of Egypt. Not Jehovah God. Not the God of creation. Not the great I am at the burning bush. But here's the one that's brought you out. The one that's brought you out are the gods of Egypt. Let's make molten calves. I like Aaron's excuse. They take all the gold and they melt it down. And he says, I put it into the furnace and there came out this calf. You know, like throwing all the parts to an automobile in a junkyard and there came out this Maserati. We put it in and there came out. I mean, the Bible told us that he fashioned it with a tool, so he's lying through his teeth. But these very same children of Israel that have seen these great victories, now in this time where Moses is on the mountain and he's gone for 40 days, and when he delayed to come out of the mountain, they said, let's make us gods like unto Egypt. Oh, it is sad when God's people sound like the world. That's why at Bible Baptist Church, you'll never hear music in here that sounds like the world. Now, to some folks with dull ears, dull spiritual ears, the music might sound dull. All those hymns, just pianos and a cappella and guitars and things like that. Well, it's always going to be that way here because there's a difference between God's people and the rest of the world. We don't have to follow that example for our standard. We don't have to speak the way the world speaks. I've heard the new songs. I've got nothing to go after them for. They don't exalt God. They exalt emotion. They exalt a sense of spirituality without any basis, without any grounding. And you could take the words of many of those songs and put them down and you can start and read to the end and you don't know what it said. Their speech betrayed them. Their speech was corrupted. In verse number 4, they said it again. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What right-minded Israelite is going to say that those golden calves brought them out of Egypt? They were corrupted by their speech. We ought not have the attitude that the world has. They should have given God the glory. They said, the Lord brought us out by a mighty hand. We're here at the foot of Mount Sinai. We don't know how things are going to go. It's looking pretty bleak right now. But this we do know, God brought us out. They should have given Him the glory. Over in Acts chapter 12, there's a story of a man that did not give God the glory. You can look there with me if you would. Acts chapter 12. And verse 21, on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration. And the people gave a shout when Herod spoke and said, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. Why? Because he gave not God the glory. He gave not God the glory. Verse 23, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. That phrase, he gave not God the glory. You know what the children of Israel did back in Exodus? They gave not God the glory. He's the one that brought them out. He's the one that sustained them in the wilderness. He's the one that blessed them and delivered them. And they didn't give him the glory. They made molten calves like they did back in Egypt. Did you hear what the governor of New York said the other day? Talking about bringing the numbers down of coronavirus cases in New York. He said, we brought the numbers down, flattened the curve, brought the numbers down. He said, God didn't do this. Faith didn't do this. We did this. Not giving God the glory. Taking the glory for himself. He ought to be glad he doesn't live in the days of the early New Testament, where we all watched on the screen as the worms ate him alive. It's dangerous not to give God the glory. You know what, believer? You know what, Christian? You better give God the glory. As the song said, whether we're on the mountain, whether it's a good day or a bad day, we need to give God the glory all the time. Because that murmuring and complaining against Him just shows that we've corrupted ourselves by our speech. Not only did they corrupt themselves by their speech, but their minds were corrupted. Their minds were corrupted. For them to even think like that, for their minds to go there and say, "These be thy gods that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." We can't comprehend how they could say that. They know who brought them out. But after their speech was corrupted, their minds were corrupted. The Bible tells us that our minds can be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. When we don't give God the glory, when our speech is corrupted, our minds will be corrupted. Someone said this a long time ago, I think I've quoted it recently, that when believers begin to turn their backs on God, God messes with their mind. Now you might say, well, it's the devil that messes with them. I don't know. God's protection over a wayward believer, just they begin doing things they never would have dreamed of doing before. That little touch of the world and get corrupting in their speech begins to corrupt their minds. And then finally, their lives were corrupted. Their speech was corrupted, their minds were corrupted, and then their lives were corrupted. Notice what it said here in chapter 32 and verse number 6. "And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings." That wasn't to God, that was to the idols. "And offered they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings." That wasn't to Jehovah, that was to the idols. "And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." Now that's not talking about the Braden kids riding their bicycle in the parking lot. When the Bible says rose up to play, you know what they're talking about? They're talking about a drunken, immoral orgy of a festival that they were celebrating at the foot of Mount Sinai while Moses was up on the top of the mountain. They had corrupted themselves in their speech, in their minds, and in their lives. They had corrupted themselves. That word corrupted in verse number 7. "For the children of Israel have corrupted themselves." You know the last time that word appeared in reference to people in the Bible? It was back in Genesis chapter 6. Look back at Genesis 6. The last time this word corrupt appears in reference to people is in Genesis chapter 6. In verse number 5, you know the story. "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Down in verse number 12, or verse 11. "And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Do you think it was corrupt? God uses that word repeatedly in these few verses. Now the first time people are described as corrupt again in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 32. These children of Israel are acting no different than the people that God eliminated right before the flood because of their corruptness, wickedness, violence. In fact, when Moses comes down from the mountain, look down back here in Exodus chapter 32. When Moses and Joshua are coming down in verse number 17. When Joshua heard the noise of the people, they're coming down from the mountain. The people are at the foot of the mountain having this out there playing, as the Bible tells us. As they shouted, he said to Moses, "There's a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing." Do I hear? Isn't that interesting? The singing sound like war chants. The singing was just a compilation of noise that made them think that it was, that made Joshua think it was war. But Moses said, "No, it's singing." And it came to pass, verse 19, as soon as he came into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables of his hand and brake them beneath the mountain. Look at verse number 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked to their shame among their enemies. Folks, this is God's people in the Old Testament. You know what they've done? They've corrupted their speech, they've corrupted their minds, they've corrupted their lives, that they are no different than the people that were corrupt in Genesis chapter 6. Be careful. Be careful. Oh, I just love the songs of the world. I just love the things of the world. There's no harm in this. There's no harm in that. Be careful. Because the speech of the world will cause you to change your mind and adapt the mindset of the world. And before that, you'll go into the corruptness of the lifestyle of the world. I've seen it happen to believers time and time and time again. Be careful. The Lord said to Moses, they have corrupted themselves. Then look back at Exodus 32 and verse number 8. The second step that God says they've taken, it's bad enough that they've corrupted themselves, like they're acting like the ungodly. But He says in verse 8, and they have turned aside quickly out of the way. Not only they have corrupted themselves, but they've turned aside out of the way. During this time of isolation, they have turned aside out of the way. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. After they corrupted themselves, there's only two directions to go. One is back to God, and one is out into complete oblivion in worldliness. They have turned aside out of the way. Verse number 8, or Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. Solomon says to his son, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Corruption begins with the speech. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The children of Israel, we're not following the advice of Solomon. Of course, Solomon wrote long after this event in Exodus 32, but they were turning aside out of the way. Notice it doesn't just say they turned aside out of the way, but they turned aside quickly. Oh, how fast we can be corrupted. How quickly we can turn aside. Can I tell you, believer, you're in church on a Sunday night during a coronavirus pandemic. You're the cream of the crop. All right? You're believers that are determined to do right. That's not a judgment on those that are not here. But you're here this evening. You're trying to do right. Do you understand that by tomorrow morning your heart could grow cold? That something could happen that would make you begin to question God? Just like they did. You say, oh no, preacher, I'm different from them. Be careful. To him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Remember, that same corrupt nature that was in the children of Israel is in you and I. Yes, we've been saved, we've been redeemed, washed in the blood, but this old flesh is the same. It's corrupt. It can lead us in a wrong direction. So Solomon said, guard your hearts. Watch your eyes. Protect your lips. Because it doesn't take much to turn aside out of the way. How quickly it can happen. Paul had a co-worker on his missionary journeys, one that labored and served, traveled and preached, supported the Apostle Paul in every way that he could. His name was Demas. He's mentioned three times in the New Testament. The first time he's mentioned with affection, the second time he's mentioned with a little bit of indecision, and the third time he's mentioned is, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know what happened to Demas? He followed the example of the children of Israel. He allowed himself to be corrupted, and then he turned aside out of the way. Luke chapter 9, verse number 62, the Bible says that no man that putteth his hand to the plow and turning back, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You and I need not turn aside out of the way. Do those things we know are to be right in God's favor and in God's honor. Keep continuing to do them. Don't be turned aside. Don't become corrupted. Don't turn aside out of the way. Look again at Exodus 32 and verse number 8. They have corrupted themselves, step number 1. They have turned aside out of the way, step number 2. Verse 8. They have made themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto. Can you believe that? They have made their own gods. That's step number 3. They made their own gods. When they got corrupted and they turned aside, they went after their own gods. Make us gods, Aaron, and we will declare that these be the gods that led us out of the land of Egypt. And what will we do? The Bible said, we will worship it and sacrifice to it. These are the same children of Israel been delivered from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, and now they're going to bow down and worship a golden calf. They know better than that. They've been taught better than that. They've seen better than that. But because their minds have been corrupted and they're not thinking right, now they're bowing down and worshiping a golden calf. Oh, if you could have rewound the tape to the day that they came out of the land of Egypt, the day they crossed the Red Sea, and showed them, here's what you're going to do in just a couple of months. You're going to make a golden calf and bow down to it and say, this is what brought you out of Egypt. They just said, we would never do that. We would never stoop so low. But they did. And they sacrificed unto it. What did they sacrifice? The Bible doesn't say. But they sacrificed to a golden image. You know what scares me about that sacrificed word? Oh, I hope. Can I say this? I hope it was a calf. I hope it was a goat. I hope it was... But they made a golden calf. Why would they make another animal? You know what the Egyptians were notorious for doing? For making human sacrifices once a year. For having ceremonial sacrifices to the foreign gods of human lives. And the Bible doesn't tell us that's what they sacrificed in that verse, but everything they're doing is what they saw in Egypt. Could they have possibly gone that low? Could they have possibly gotten that bad? Well, if you can imagine that they made one, if you can imagine that they worshipped one, and the Bible does declare that they sacrificed to one, here's where they're at. These be thy gods. Look at Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse number 5. I think we mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. That the sin in the Old Testament that God hated and despised above all other sins was the sin of idolatry. The sin of idolatry. And yet here are the children of Israel committing the most abominable of sins in the presence of Almighty God. Bowing down to idols. In Psalm 115, and beginning in verse number 5, the psalmist said, well, let's begin in verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Give glory to God. Don't be like the world. Give glory to God. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that might make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Israel in Exodus chapter 32 is violating everything that's written there. Again, that hadn't been written yet. I understand it. But that was God's attitude. You know what he calls them in the Bible? Dumb idols. You've been led aside to these dumb idols. That's what Paul referred to them as. And here they were worshiping something that they had made with their own hands and claiming it was God that had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They're doing insane things. They have no comprehension of how far they have gotten. And it all began with that corruption. They've corrupted themselves. They've turned aside out of the way. They have made their own gods. Then finally, verse 9. They became a stiff-necked people. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. They went from being corrupt to turning aside to making their own gods. And now God draws this conclusion. The first word, this is the first time this word is used in the Bible. It's going to be used many times after this. In fact, it'll be used 6 times between this and the early chapters of Deuteronomy as God and Moses are talking back and forth about the people of Israel. And it starts here in verse number 9. The first time, it is a stiff-necked people. God looked upon them and he said, in all I've done for them, in all the wonders I've performed on their behalf, I've fed them, I've clothed them, I've given them everything they need. And yet they've corrupted themselves. And yet they have turned aside out of the way. And yet they have made themselves gods. They are a stiff-necked people. They say the word stiff-necked comes from the example of a horse. When the rider is riding on the horse and the horse gets frightened or comes to a stop and it just stiffens up and it doesn't matter what you do with the reins, you've lost control of the horse now. The rider can't control it because it's become stiff-necked. You and I as people can become like that sometimes. So stubborn, so resistant, we become stiff-necked even against God. They have become a stiff-necked people. You know what God's saying? There's no hope for them now. There's no remedy, Moses. They have gone so far now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wipe them out and start all over again. God did that in Genesis 6 with that first group that became corrupt. Now he tells Moses, I'm going to do it again. Now again, we can't understand. I know that God wasn't going to do it because he didn't do it. If he was going to do it, he would have done it. So we look at this conversation between God and Moses and say, Moses talked him out of it. No, he was testing Moses to see what Moses would do under that condition. And Moses showed his humility and showed his leadership. And he said, God, don't wipe him out. And gave him reasons for it. And God, I'm sure, was just sitting back nodding, saying, all right, Moses, you've given me the right answer. You said this wasn't a test for God to see whether he's going to wipe him out or not. But we understand that God came to the point where he was ready to do it because of these 4 steps that the children of Israel took. Wouldn't it be foolish to put God to a test? Wouldn't it be foolish to challenge God? And yet that's what the children of Israel did. They corrupted themselves. They turned aside out of the way. They accepted the gods of the world as their gods. I said this last week at some time. I love it. I love it. Basketball stars are not stars right now. Hollywood stars have never been stars in my mind, but they're not stars right now. You know who the heroes are? They're the nurses. They're the doctors. They're the frontline people. That's the way it always should have been anyways. Those people are more valuable than any athlete's ever been. More value than any actor, someone pretending to be someone else. I mean, what's the purpose of that? Doctors and nurses, those that have helped us all along, are much more valuable. Right now, in fact, the young girl working the drive-thru at Burger King is more valuable than LeBron James. I don't care what he does, but I want her to be at that window She went home 5 minutes ago, Daryl. We're out of luck now. It's going to have to be Taco Bell or something else. They close at 8 o'clock now, and the preacher went too long. They make gods of the gods of the world. You know, a lot of Christians are guilty of doing that. Making what this star says worth something, or what that person says worth something. And then they became a stiff-necked people. Oh, thank God that Moses stood between the Lord and the people of Israel and pleaded on their behalf and asked God, besought Him not to destroy that nation. You know, God does judge. Not all judgment is the devil. Sometimes it's God. And when God sees a corrupted, stiff-necked people, He's got to do something. He's got to bring judgment. You and I, folks, it's this simple. I am capable of being just like the children of Israel. I can't sit back on my haunches and my pride and say, well, bless God, I'd never be like that. No, if they're capable of doing it after all that God's done for them and the miracles they've seen, I'm capable of doing it too. So what does Solomon say? Guard your heart. Watch your eyes. Protect your speech. Dedicate yourself to God day in and day out. And never have to have the Lord say, that's the end. I'm done. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.